Sometimes, some sounds transport you back to a place. Those sounds bring you back to a moment, a laugh, a picture in your mind that hangs so clearly. And a place that I often try to transport myself back to is London, England. I had the chance to live there for 3 months for study abroad before I had to come home early because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But those sounds are just everything to me, because they take me back to those exact moments. It's the early morning birds chirping in Hyde Park as I walk to my internship. It's the sound of ABBA playing in the pub. It's walking down Chinatown on Lunar New Year. It's the sounds of the trains being called at St. Pancras Station as the clock strikes 6 o'clock. It's walking across the bridge from the Tate Modern as you hear My Way by Frank Sinatra. It's the sound of Covent Garden, a man singing in front of a phone booth with his whole heart. Those are the sounds that stick out in my mind when I think of London. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about what makes a Londoner and what makes London so beautiful to me. Along the way, I'm going to have some friends tell you what they think makes a Londoner as well. So stick around. Hi, my name is Hannah Sturgis. I'm a Gilman Scholar for 2020, and I studied abroad in London through the Syracuse University London program. And this is the story of London. I actually never really liked rainy days. Really, I mean, unless I was inside with a blanket over me and a warm cup of tea, rain just delayed my plans. It meant I had to carry an umbrella, catch a train instead of walking, and cancel my outdoor activities. But then I lived in London for study abroad, and that changed that feeling. It rained on the day my plane landed. I remember feeling just a twinge of disappointment as I left Heathrow Airport. I gazed over the misty countryside and thought, I'm home. What a strange sense of calm it is to feel like you are home. When I applied to the Gilman Scholarship, they asked how you would impart American values on your new country, how you would exchange. I said that that was not going to be my goal. I was going to be a sponge and absorb the culture of London and maybe, instead, bring it back home. I think that if you want to study abroad, you should go. Unequivocally, you will be a better person for it, but you cannot go in with eyes set to judge. You must go in wanting to understand. I wanted to know what made a Londoner, and the Gilman gave me a chance to do that in a really meaningful way. What makes London? I was desperate to know everything about the city and those who live there all at once, but London is a city filled with stories, so what is the story of London? London has a population of nearly 9 million people stretched out over 607 miles, from North London to South, across the Thames, and all the way to Hyde Park. But the London I know from growing up was all about royalty and the posh lifestyle of the elite. I can confirm that that's not really London. London is getting falafel or shawarma after a night out in Shoreditch after a day of walking around the Tate. Not too many carriages to be seen in between. I think the story of London is found in its people. I had never, having grown up in a rural area in the US, seen such a diverse population before. I had also never seen such unity amongst people of different backgrounds. Whether they were born and raised in London or had recently immigrated, there was a fervent feeling of love for this shared place. But where I really observed the story of London was perhaps the least suspecting place, the London Underground. If you live in London, you have to take it. There is no way around it. And my first day, I got so flustered that I bought 2 tickets for a one-way ride in Zone 1. That might not make sense to you now, but know that it is a major faux pas. But when I got on the tube, I noticed this eerie disposition it held. No one was chatting. No one was catching up with a work pal they had ran into on a station. Their nose was glued to a newspaper, simply getting lost in their own minds and thoughts. They seemed like real Londoners to me, taking this train so casually, but why no speaking? I learned pretty quickly that Londoners value silence, something as an American that I cannot necessarily say I caught on to as quickly as I thought I might. But as I rode the tube every day, using the same two stations, I never saw the same stories twice. Sometimes it was a working mother trying to drop off her toddler at school. Sometimes it was lovers riding back home after a long day. And sometimes it was just the lads, just off the clock, heading to the pub to unwind. And even though they never said too many words to one another, I was captivated by their stories. I took a class on British media, and something my professor taught us is that we have to let go of the way we view things. She says that we are taught culture, it's inculcated in us, and that in order to adapt to a new one, we must appreciate the intrinsic differences, or at the very least, learn to view them with a new perspective. I had to realize that having only lived in the US my whole life, my whole vocabulary for normal was skewed. My new normal included trading elevators for lifts and my apartment for a flat. I had to get used to people saying, "You're all right," to me, and knowing that they weren't implying that I looked sad, but just saying hello to me. The story of London is one told through immigrants. So much of London is made up by immigrant population, and the city is richer and more beautiful for it. I think that story is ultimately told through food. So much of time spent in London is spent sat at a restaurant, but each dish and cuisine you have is told through a different cultural lens. I live close to Queensway Station, and on the road alone, you can enjoy Thai, Indian, Italian, and Australian food, all nestled next to your local British pubs. This coexistence reminds us that food is a love language anyone can understand. The story of London is in the art. Such art, as I wrote for my Gilman application, that I have admired for years. London has hundreds of songs written for its beauty. The fashion, the theater, the museums, the architecture are all constant reminders of that beauty. Even in the rain, it looks great. And the British love for television is unmatched. My flatmates and I adopted the tradition of sitting around the telly every night and just enjoying whatever was on. When the odd American sitcom came on, we were disappointed. We wanted British humor. But for me, that time was cut short. On March 16th, due to the pandemic, I had to leave London and come back home. Immediately, I was bombarded with questions of what I ate, what I saw, where I traveled, what I bought. My mother asked me a more important question. What did I learn? What did I learn? After all, I had gone to study an intern. I'd gone as a Gilman scholar, ready to explore the world and with the widest eyes possible. What did London teach me? London taught me that you never stop learning. It's cheesy, I know, but I learned so much about British culture and realized quickly that what I thought I knew was a superficial facade. The royals are not England, the same way Love Island is not either, and that no country is perfect. I was able to truly confront the way that British government looks at immigration, public housing. I was able to interview people on Brexit while working as a journalist. I said earlier that you have to go in with wide eyes. I did, and I saw London for what it was, and I still loved it anyway. I think that some students wanting to study abroad look for the place that they study and to give them something. I'm not sure if that's the best attitude to have. A place cannot give you anything you are not willing to work for, and traveling isn't an escape of your mind, it should be an engagement of your mind. For anyone wanting to study abroad in London, I say go for it. You might find yourself falling in love with the rain, because maybe, just maybe, you're meant to be a Londoner. The story of London is a young woman on the corner selling double-decker bus tours. The story of London is the Italian man who always rang up my cheese toastie at Pret-a-Manger. The story of London is the survivors of the tragedy at Grenfell. The story of London is the BBC. The story of London is royal weddings. The story of London is a crowded tube station at Holborn at 5 p.m. The story of London is a black cab gliding across the city. The story of London is Shoreditch. The story of London is tea in the afternoon. The story of London is Londoners, old and young, new and old, from central London and north London, both. To me, that is the story of London. So I wanted to ask my friends, what makes a Londoner? What to them is the story of London, and what was their experience, and what did they take away from that? They gave me a wide range of answers, some about how race and identity affected their time, some about how Londoners are ambiguous, but I'll let them tell their stories.
If I were to put what makes a Londoner in one word, I definitely would say ambiguous, being ambiguous, being open, you know, to more than one interpretation. It's when you're walking down the streets of London, to me at least, I didn't see one specific person, you know, I didn't see one everyday style that everyone wore, you know, or one person looking the exact same, speaking the exact same language. I heard and saw a mix of different things, and I think that can be seen through pretty much all creative mediums that are just found in London, you know? And I think that quality is both a personality and a style.
Even seeing all the grand buildings on the streets, it kind of felt like the truth is buried in a lot of ways. And I was hurt for weeks because my classes were all focused on the subject of race and London and the UK's history with race. So I was in like an information overload type of situation sometimes. And, you know, it hurt. It just was painful sometimes. But I had to go through all of that in order to feel more confident in myself and in my identity. And now I don't question who I am anymore as much, and I don't question my blackness as much as I did before. I guess it's important to mention that I am mixed, so that's kind of why this is like a whole thing for me. But I take both the good and the bad and everything that came with the trip all over again, and that includes being kicked out of the country.
I think a part of what makes a Londoner means having a connection to the city no matter where you are. Once you've lived there, I think something about the rectangular patterned sidewalks, black iron fences, and tan brick building fronts sticks with you forever. Filled with ancient ruins, the remnants of Shakespeare's kings, there's a resilience of the bustling city, the politeness of strangers, at least compared to the U.S., the constructed hierarchy of life and the beauty and ugliness of that, and a feeling of being at once in the center of the world and much of history, and at once worlds away from reality. To be a Londoner, at least for me, someone who only had the chance to live there for almost 3 months, is to know these things and love them.
One of my friends even went so far to make a beautiful poem about it.
Oh, London, how much I miss you, London. Your fast two brides, the London Eye, rainy and cloudy blue skies. Oh, London, I miss how Londoners dress in chic styles. The ancient buildings are worthwhile. Oh, London, I yearn to hear your country's British accents. It would be much more relaxing if I didn't miss you so much, oh, London.
When I was planning and packing for my study abroad, I could not help but think about all the mistakes I was bound to make. I was actually obsessively watching YouTube videos on do's and don'ts of London, but something I quickly learned is that making mistakes is part of life. Like, really, if you do not, you will not grow. Let's just say I grew a lot in London, but I always felt supported and like I had someone I could turn to if I needed help. And that is thanks to my wonderful study abroad program, and of course, to the Benjamin A. Gilman International Scholarship. If you want to become a Londoner but you feel like the barriers to entry are too great, I greatly suggest you apply for the Gilman Scholarship. When I was applying, I did not really think that I would get it, but I knew that if I did not, the financial burden on my family was going to be great. And because I work at school, I would be missing out on money. What attracted me to the Gilman is that they viewed study abroad as I did, an opportunity to learn and grow. I can tell you without a doubt that I'm a different person because I chose to study abroad. I think that if you want to study abroad, but you are also globally minded and want an experience that deepens your understanding about the country you travel to, apply to the Gilman. They not only will be able to set you up with the tools you need to be a globally minded professional, no matter what field you plan to pursue, they can also help you while you are studying abroad and get you connected to people there, like embassies and other fun activities like that. So you're probably wondering, how do you become a Gilman Scholar and how you start your journey to study abroad? The application process is very straightforward, but perhaps the most important piece of advice anyone will give you is this: write meaningful essays. What do I mean by meaningful? See what I did there? Gilman wants a statement of purpose, an explanation of how you will build mutual understanding in your new country, and also an explanation of your follow-on service project. It may sound like a lot, but if you write it meaningfully, that is, write it as if you're explaining it to a friend, it really isn't that bad. You want it to be structured well and to be well thought out and written, but you also want to make sure that the person you are comes through and comes across in the page. I started my own essay with an anecdote. I found that was a good way for the reader to have an insight on who I am and where I come from. You might find another in, but make sure to start planning your essays early because you do not want the deadline to sneak up on you. We're all college students and we know how fast that can sneak up on you. I was so grateful for my time studying abroad and for all that I learned in and outside of the classroom. For my professional growth, I was able to gain as an intern working at a major news organization, but none of that would have been possible without the support of the Gilman Scholarship. So to the team at Gilman, thank you so much. And to all the students daydreaming of study abroad, get those applications in. A special thank you to Gabriella Dubois, Jolene Louis, Callista Ragland, and Amara Cambridge for sharing their stories about what makes London and their connection to the cities, having lived there. This has been Maybe It's Because You're a Londoner. My name is Hannah Sturgis, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.